Episode number 292, Grace Valley, a church plant case study with Matt McMorris. Let's do it.
This is the definitive podcast for helping you plan, create, and execute dynamic worship experiences at your church. Useful, practical content in the areas of production, worship, communications, first impressions, and more. This is Making Sunday Happen.
Well, hey guys, welcome to the podcast. I hope you survived Easter 2021. I'm hoping that you got to gather in person this year, at least a good chunk of you, even if you had a smaller number of people in your in-person gathering. I hope it was beneficial to meet with each other and see each other. Thank you for what you do. I know that this year you probably did more than years past, making sure that your in-person and your digital worship experience, your online presence was there as well. A lot of churches that we've seen over the last year, there's been a good chunk of churches that had zero online presence before COVID. And so now, you're in a place where online is here to stay. And so we're proud of you. Way to go. Way to put off or put on Easter this year, both in person and online. Way to go, guys. All right. This week on the show, I welcome my friend Matt McMorris. Matt is a church planter and the lead pastor of Grace Valley Church in Wisconsin. And we're talking about how to lead church plants and smaller churches. So we're going to do a case study of Grace Valley, which runs about 30 members or so on a Sunday and growing. So what does a church of 30 look like? How do they do it? What are some affordable ways that they have excellent quality worship experiences on a small budget? How are they live streaming? How do they reach people in their community? What does their Sunday look like? We're going to talk about all of that with Matt as we do a church plant case study of Grace Valley Church. That's what we're talking about today. But first, let's check the mailbag. Here we go. Well, hey guys, we started this last week where we are answering some questions that we get about ready-made media content in the mailbag. So last week we talked about countdowns, and this week we're going to talk about how to use lyric media in your worship experience. So we get a lot of questions about how do I use a song? What are the copyright issues that I need to deal with? How do I do a click track? All of that kind of stuff. So I'm going to hit on a few things to answer your questions about lyric videos for your worship experience. So we have had the honor at 1230 Media of producing literally hundreds of lyric videos for churches, for ministries, for artists, and we've done them in a few different ways. So here are a few ways to execute and enhance the performance songs and moments in your worship experiences using lyric videos, okay? Here's number one, is using click tracks. So you can build a lyric video with a click track with split audio. Okay, so you can run the click side to the band's ears and the other audio channel to the house. So what this also allows you to do is you can add instruments to that right channel. It's usually the right channel or the non-click side that you might not have in your band to make the song sound fuller and thicker in the house. So that's one advantage of using a click track. Also, when it comes to lyric videos, playing a lyric video with a click track is the most secure way to time everything perfectly, and it usually results in the best execution of that song. So if you don't have a click track, your lyrics could be off and the timing could be off on that song when you are performing it live. But using a click track, when fired correctly and executed well, it is the perfect execution of a lyric video. So you can fire your video using Ableton, if you're familiar with that. If you're not familiar with Ableton, check out the episode that we did with Will Doggett. I'm not remembering the episode number offhand, but you can go to our website, makingsundayhappen.com. That's the direct podcast landing page. Just search Will Doggett or Ableton and pull that up and you can learn all about Ableton from Will. Will is a master at that. So usually when using Ableton, the drummer on stage is going to fire that when it relates to a video, so they can hit it. And so when doing this, the band is fully in sync with your video. Okay, so number one, using click tracks. Number two is using what we call flex files. Okay, this is this might be a new concept. This is a term that we coined or that's been around, but we've used it in a few settings. Okay, so flex files are individual videos that play for segments of the song. These are video files that can either have lyrics embedded in them or can be backgrounds while you lay lyrics on top of them using your presentation software like ProPresenter or MediaShout, Easy Worship. So for example, your flex file number one is the intro of the song. Flex file number two is verse one. Flex number three is the chorus. Flex four, verse two. Flex five, the bridge. Flex six is the ending. So you can lay these flex files out in your presentation software. So you can do, you know, an intro, verse one, chorus, verse two, then another chorus, and then, you know, kind of swap these videos in and out as needed. Just lay them in. Now, the advantage of that is you have some flexibility. Okay, so if the band wants to turn another chorus, they're not going to be able to when using a click track. They are going to be able to when using a flex file. Okay, the disadvantage of using a flex file is the timing. You gotta like fire it just right so that the lyrics kind of match up, and it's kind of a guessing game in the live environment if the lyrics are gonna match, because in a flex file the lyrics are embedded in the video file usually. Okay, so you can do it where you're putting lyrics on top of it, but if you're gonna do it that way, you might as well just have a background in ProPresenter and run everything in ProPresenter. With a flex file, I'm more talking about an enhanced video file. This is a motion graphics elements or fonts and treatments that you cannot do in ProPresenter, that sort of thing. Okay, so that's kind of the pros and cons of using a flex file. I'm gonna highly suggest that if you can use a click track, use a click track, okay? All right, the third way that you can do a lyric video is using soft roll footage, okay? So soft roll footage is footage that does not have to be timed to a click track to match for timing. It's just footage, okay? So for example, say your pastor talked about a missionary couple in his message that are serving the Lord in a third world country. Well, your band, maybe toward the end of your service, your band could sing a song that relates to, you know, missions around the world, global missions, and you can play B-roll footage of that couple that the pastor talked about during the song and put lyrics on top of it in ProPresenter, okay? Basically use it as a background if you want to, okay? So the rolling soft footage is a great way to enhance a performance piece so it's not just a worship background. Now you're adding a visual element with actual footage, okay? So again, you can run lyrics on top of it. You can even come in and out of camera shots. I've done this before where, let's say you use cameras and you're directing. You can run camera shots for the intro in verse one. And in the chorus, instead of going to another camera shot, you roll footage. You roll soft roll footage and you go to that. Okay. And then after the chorus, you come back to camera shots. So you know, you can interchange that live as you see fit. Okay. So that's just another way that you can run a lyric video. The fourth way and the simplest way to run a lyric video is just to play it as a video. Okay. So we've produced a lot of lyric videos for kids ministries specifically, some using hand motions as well. So these are great to use in your environments where kids or students can watch a video to a song and even interact with it with hand motions or whatnot. Okay. All right. So those are just a few ways that you can use lyric videos in your worship experience. You can check out our library of ready-made media content. Our lyric, we have a full library of lyric videos on our website, 1230.media. That's 1230.media on your browser. Just click on the ready-made tab there on our homepage or any page and choose lyric videos or lyric media under the ready-made tab. And you can check out our library. Our lyric videos are like $12 each, so super affordable for you. Or you can save with our Go Unlimited subscription and get everything in the library downloaded as much as you want, if that would save you some money. So that's at 1230.media. Or if you need lyric videos custom made for your church or your ministry, we can help with that too. So feel free to reach out to us. You can go to the same website, 1230.media, click on custom media there in the middle, and see a sample library of lyric videos that we've done, and even order one if we can make one from scratch for you. And we can make them in any way that I mentioned. So click track or flex files or with a performance track that you're going to do live. However you need to do it, we can make it for you. Now, I want to give you some practical information. I want to tell you that we can help if you need help with that, with a pre-done video or with a custom piece. But I want to give you some practical content on if you're doing these live, how do I do them live? So that's my heart and intention here. Okay, so 1230.media is our website if we can help you out in any way. All right, so more to come on the podcast this week, a church plant case study with Matt McMorris. My friend Matt is coming up right after this. Hey guys, I wanted to let you know about Be Church Conference coming April 29th and 30th in Greensboro, North Carolina. This is a great conference for pastors, worship pastors, and church leaders. Speakers include my friend Pastor Tony Valdez, Dr. Gary Chapman, Pastor Shannon Odell, Ronnie Phillips Jr. from Abba's House, and others, worship from the great Rita Springer, and more. Tickets are super affordable. I'm talking like $20 a person, so super affordable. This is an in-person event, so if you're ready to jump back into conferences, this one is a great one to come to. You can get tickets and more information at bechurchconference.com. That's bechurchconference.com. Hey guys, today I welcome my friend Matt McMorris. Matt is the lead pastor of Grace Valley Church in Lodi, Wisconsin. Did I say it right?
You said it right.
Yes. And he's the editor-in-chief of the Everyday Christian Network. My buddy, my pal, my amigo. Matt, what's up, man?
Not a whole lot. Well, I was going to say not a whole lot because that's what you say, but I mean, it's crazy busy, but
yeah.
But it's good stuff.
You know, you don't know whether to say either one, like not much or... you know, crazy yeah. busy.
Like that's like when you're having like a bad day and somebody says, "How you doing?" You're like, "Oh, doing great." Yeah. Like, I just totally lied to your face.
Right. Yeah. Right. Exactly. Awesome, man. Well, I'm pumped to have you. We've gotten to know each other over the last couple of years and hanging out through media content and
we've never met face to face.
We've never met face.
Never met face to face.
Well, you live like I'm not going to Wisconsin.
I live where crazy people live, up in the north where it snows all the time.
Come on,
I know.
Well, I have zero besides you. Have zero reason to go to Wisconsin.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I actually was kind of like, okay, Lord, I'm willing to be a pastor. Put me wherever you want me. And then he led me to Wisconsin. I was like, really? Like, like what did I do to deserve that? But apparently, this is where he wants me.
You know. I know you talk to people in Hawaii and you know, suffering for Jesus and all right. that. You are really suffering.
I just pray they have all kind of church problems. You know, if you're going to have good weather, you got to at least have bad people. I got great people, so that helps.
Hey, there you go. That's good. Good. Good swap. All right. So let's jump in. Tell me about your role at your church. You're a church planner, and you've started the Everyday Christian Network. So kind of tell me about both.
Yeah. So. I came to Lodi, Wisconsin, I was at another church near here, and God just made it, I won't go into the whole story, made it kind of abundantly clear that that wasn't the right fit. And so I never wanted to be a church planter. It wasn't on my radar. It wasn't my desire. It seemed really, really hard, and it is. But it was one of those things where it wasn't something I wanted to do, but God just made it so clear to me that this is what he wanted, that he wanted us to plant this church here in our community. And my wife and I talked about it. We prayed about it. We cried over it. We struggled with it, and ultimately came to the decision where there's people here that need a pastor. And I really, I grew up in a small town, so I'll kind of preface it with where I am. I'm outside Madison, but I'm outside far enough that people don't like come out here for church. There's kind of Madison, then the bedroom communities, and then us. So we're not really pulling for Madison. So we're in a small town, a rural community. But I feel like oftentimes rural communities get either guys that think of it as like a practice church before they get to the big leagues, or maybe a retirement church when they're kind of winding down. And so I've watched my dad pastor the same church for, I think this is his 30th year now, in a small town. My brother pastors a church in a small town in Texas. My dad's in Michigan. And so I've always just kind of had a heart for rural community and felt like, while I may not be a great pastor, I wanted to be the best I could be, even for people in a small town. So God brought us here, and small town often equals small church. And at least for right now, for us, that's the case. And we pray that God would allow us to grow. But we had 34 in attendance, to be totally honest with you, yesterday, that were in person, and then a few others online. And so that was a good day for us. And we were excited about that. COVID hasn't helped much. But that, as I was starting this church, there's kind of two ways you can go about doing this. You can either, kind of get support through a network or through fundraising or something, or you can get a job. And because of, again, without going into the long story, because of our circumstances, it was, better for me at the time just to kind of get a job. And so, working a full-time job and realize that there's so many wonderful people that just, don't have a lot of great resources for Christian content. There might be large books or sermons and things of that nature, but I really started to feel like the people that I pastor and the people that I'm working alongside at work really just needed some nuggets of truth. And ultimately what I kind of refer to as encouragement for their faith journey, as they're just kind of walking with the Lord, some of them not ready maybe to come to church, others that are going to church somewhere else, but wanted to just kind of create content to help people. And I began to look around, where could I send people to just kind of have some of that spiritual growth in their life? And there are some tremendous blogs and podcasts and things out there. But most of the time they're niched way down, which is wonderful if you need that specific thing. But I was looking for something a little more generic. And God, again, just kind of spoke to me, to my heart, and was like, I want you to start something. And I kind of argued, because I'm already busy working a full-time job, pastoring a church. I was like, I don't want to do this too, but I love doing it. And God led us to start the Everyday Christian Network, because I was looking for something for the everyday Christian, just the average person who's a police officer, a nurse, a plumber, an electrician, just that stay-at-home mom, anybody that's just trying to live for the Lord on a regular basis, and finding content that's easily digestible, encouraging. So like a theologian's going to go to the Everyday Christian Network. He's going to look at our stuff and go, this is really simple. And I would say, yes, you're right. Like that's the goal, is we're trying to be an encouragement to people. So everydaychristiannetwork.com is kind of the hub for it, but we're fairly new. We're getting podcasts going, talking to you guys about working on some projects for video and getting some of that going, where we really can create some content to help encourage people in their walk with the Lord.
That's awesome, man. I'm really proud of what you're doing, and just a big fan. Let's jump into Grace Valley a little bit more. So tell me kind of, you walked me through God calling you to it, but talk me through the start of it and kind of the pains of
starting. There were plenty of those.
Yeah.
So kind of what happened, and I'll just kind of give this in a nutshell. I was at a church where, because of my youth and some issues within the church and some of the things that were structured that I didn't understand well before I went there, God just kind of made it clear that that wasn't the right fit for us. And so we were going to leave. We were going to move away. But because of some of the things going on in the church, there were several families that said, we're not going back to that church. We want you to be our pastor still. And I was like, man, I don't split churches. Like, that's not how I roll. I'm not going to be a guy that splits a church. And they were like, look, we're leaving no matter what you decide to do. Cause my wife and I were just planning to leave. I got some counsel from some other pastors and really felt like I wasn't the one splitting the church, that it was becoming two churches and God had called us there to pastor. So while the other group of people kept the name and the building and the money and all of that stuff, we just continued to kind of meet after some of this went down, after I decided to resign. And, But again, I had never planned on planting a church. So a lot of guys that do, they have their name and they have their bylaws or constitution and all that stuff kind of ready to go when they walk into a community. We didn't have any of that stuff. So not only was I kind of recovering from some of the hurt of some of the things that had happened, but also at the same time, trying to figure out how do you start a church? So I didn't know anything about that kind of stuff. And I'm a big picture dreamer kind of guy. So I can dream up all kinds of stuff, but getting some of the details down is kind of difficult. So I look for resources where there's people that you can outsource things to. And I'll circle back to one of the reasons I love 1230 Media, which I know you didn't ask me on to be a commercial, but like that's easy for me to talk about because it helps our church. But earlier on, even than that, there's a company called Start Church, and there may be others just like this, but it's who we used. It was recommended to us, and the price was good, and they really they walked us through all of the legal stuff, setting up a 501c3, getting all of our paperwork in order, filing things with the state, getting a board set up, getting our bylaws and things rolling. So it was one of those things where it was kind of terrifying for me at first, but they just walked us right through it point by point, to where we could just, as long as we just stayed with them on the steps, we were able to kind of get started, making sure that everything was kind of established correctly in a legal sense. Because when we got started, people came to me and said, hey, how are we going to take up offerings? And I was like, I never thought about that. Like, we don't have a bank account and you can't just give it to me to put in my bank account. Like, there's obvious ethical issues there. So we literally started with my dad's support from his church. He was like, hey, why don't you guys send it here? We will just hold it for you. So people were writing out checks to my dad's church. They just kept it kind of in their account and as a line item in their budget, didn't take anything, didn't charge us anything. They just kind of held on to it for us. So we were that green. I'm like, we don't know anything about doing this. So again, Start Church helping us with, here's how you set up a bank account. Here's how you get all that. Obviously, we know how to get a bank account, but how do you do it for a business organization and all of that? And then we just saw God bless in unusual ways, man. I remember when we first were looking at this, the first Sunday we met, we had a building. And this all kind of came out within just about 3 weeks. I kind of resigned, and within a few weeks, we were meeting in a pretty nice building that we didn't pay a dime for. And it was our town hall building here in our community. And it's honestly, it's kind of surprising that they let a church meet there, but we had a contact that knew them well that also attends our church. And they just asked, like, can we use this? And they were like, yeah, I guess so. So they let us meet in there for free as long as we set up, tore down, cleaned up when we were done. So we had space, we had bathrooms and all those kind of things that you would need. So we didn't have to start in a garage or anything like that, which is cold up here this time of year. So we started in January. So that's kind of where we got started, is just organizationally we outsourced a lot of that support so that they did a lot of the paperwork for us and we just filled in the blanks and kind of launched that way.
Yeah, that's awesome, man. Well, one of the main reasons I wanted to have you on is because, you know, we talk to churches of all sizes.
Yeah.
And everybody across the spectrum is trying to think about, how do I make Sunday happen? Especially in the last year.
Okay? Yeah.
How do we do it physically? Do we invite people back now? What's your capacity? How are you doing it? What are we doing online? Like, all of those questions have happened in the last year, no matter your church size.
Right.
And so one reason why I wanted to have you on is because I wanted to show people that a church of 30, 40 people can still make it happen on Sunday. And so I wanted to kind of do a case study of, what does that look like for you?
Yeah.
And I appreciate how open you are about numbers and things like that, because, why don't I let you speak to that? And we've both served on staff at larger churches.
Right.
Walk that out.
I worked on the staff of, I believe at the time, at least, I think it was the largest Baptist church west of the Mississippi. Several thousand people at the church, and I was on their staff for a while, and I grew up in a small church. So I've kind of run the gamut on church sizes. And I'll tell you this much, no matter where you're at, you always wish you had more. You always wish you could do more. And there's always kind of that, which I think can be healthy, a healthy dissatisfaction with the status quo, right? It's like, I want to serve God better. We want to have more resources and those kind of things. But when you're small, I think in particular, it's very easy to compare. And I struggled with it too. I wanted to have the big show. I wanted to have the big production. But there were times where we literally couldn't access our building. So I told you it was a town hall. So if they had voting going on, they had to close it down. They would set up on the weekend, close it down on Sunday because no one was allowed to go in on a weekend where there was voting on Monday or Tuesday. So we'd be out. We'd have to find another place to meet. So there's a local bank that has a conference room, a large conference room upstairs. They let us use that space. We met in our backyard several times, just at my house when the weather was nice in the summer. We did that for about 2 months during COVID. We just set up some tents to keep people in a shaded area and just made it work. We didn't have a sound system. We did some live stream even from that because we had kind of the equipment to be able to live stream at that point. So it comes, for me, it just came down to this reality of my main priority is to shepherd people. It's not to put on a production. And if I remember that I'm supposed to love and shepherd and care for these people, then God will give me the tools and the resources to be able to do that. With that concept in mind, it frees me up from a lot of this, honestly, kind of covetous desire of like, I want more videos or cameras or this or that or the other. And allows me to just say, hey, I'm not called to reach people across the country. I'm called to reach the people in my town. I'm called to reach my neighbors and the people in my community. So for us, it really came down to, for me, it came down to this idea of, I just need to be okay with what God has given us. But then also to say, with what God has given us, how can we use that to the very best of our ability? So I give myself permission to be okay with less, but to use what I have the best way we can. So for the longest time, we're meeting outside, we're meeting in a portable space. When we did finally get another permanent space, it was one we had access to Sunday mornings. And we didn't have to move if they were voting or something. We paid a little bit for rent in that space, but we had a trailer that we would unload everything and load it back up on Sundays. And that's tough, but we invested in the best equipment we could afford, things that made sense for us, sound system. We didn't use TVs. We used projectors and screens at the time because of the fact that the portability of them, it was easier than setting up TVs every time. And so we got some things we could do, but then when you get some of that, there's always this desire, well, I kind of want more. And I want slides that have motion to them, and I want to show videos and these kind of things. And so we just started always kind of saying, with the finances that we have, with the talent that we have, the people that we have, what can we do to improve? That's where I don't even know where I initially found out about 1230 Media, but I looked at your website and I was blown away at the quality and the variety of the stuff that you had for the price that you had. So for our church, the custom package, number one, it's not expensive, but it is for us. And we knew that. So I was like, I don't need to kind of have all this custom stuff, but it's incredible to have. And I've done some things custom with you guys, and that's been amazing. But on a regular recurring basis, I was like, okay, I can't afford custom. So I started looking at in particular, your sermons in a box. And those have been so great for me because God will put a sermon series or something on my heart. And maybe this is a little backwards, but I kind of, what does God want me to preach? And then I go and I try to find a sermon in a box that kind of fits what I'm looking at. So I might change my series title to fit what you guys called it. But the notes that you even put in, you guys usually give like a portion of scripture and a brief one paragraph of a sermon idea. Sometimes I use those. A lot of times I don't. I'm just kind of taking the graphics and making it work for what we're trying to accomplish. So for us, it came down to just this idea of we want to be as effective as we can in communication. So I've tried to invest a lot of resources into our sound, our music. I was the only guy doing music literally until 2 months ago. And I finally have one other guy that can sing and play guitar. But again, you use what you have and you be okay with that. We finally have a couple of TVs on our stage that are permanently mounted in our permanent location now that we're renting. And so being able to show videos and graphics and those kind of things were super important. So we signed up for the monthly subscription where we can access all of that stuff unlimited and be able to use it. And it takes our services to a level of professionalism that I just don't have time to do otherwise. Working a full-time job, having a family, wife, three kids, all of that stuff. I've got some video experience, I can't do motion graphics and that kind of stuff, but trying to create sermon bumpers and all of that it was not going to happen on my schedule. So we're able to do a lot more, by using resources like that. And it's been a game changer for us.
So walk me through a Sunday. What's a normal kind of service flow for you?
For us, we're very simple. And again, it's on purpose. Because I would rather do something simple very well than try to be like Life Church and have some big wazoo screen behind me and a big band and all that. Like if we don't have it, we don't try to fake it.
Right.
We use Loop Community's tracks, their Prime app, which if anybody's a musician, you understand that stuff. We use that so that as we grow, we can use that less and less. I found for me when I was leading worship, when you're in a small church, people are already hesitant to sing because everybody can hear them. So if it's just me up there with a guitar, nobody sang. But by adding the tracks, I got a little bit more out of them by filling the room. Now that we've got our electric guitar player and I play acoustic, we're pulling the acoustic and the electric out. We're praying for drummer, bass player, and all that stuff. But until then, we're using that. So we get that set up. We're using Sling Studio right now, which has its strengths and weaknesses for live stream. We're looking at some other options to kind of do some different things in the future with that. So we'll start off with in the morning before church, we'll come in, warm up, make sure everything sound wise is set up and ready to go. It's probably like most people typically would do. And then we'll start off with doing our song service, and we'll do, I love a longer song service, but again, in our context with only a handful of people doing a long worship set starts to get awkward and uncomfortable for people. So we usually do a couple of songs, and again, using those tracks and things to accomplish that. And then what works best for me, because I've got in-ear monitors on and I've got microphones set up and whatnot. When that's done, one of the reasons I love using you guys is we've got a sermon bumper that gives me 60 to 90 seconds to kind of reset. So I can get some stuff off the stage. I can pull the ears out. I can get my Bible and my notes and those kind of things set up and ready to go. So we'll play a sermon bumper and then I'll get into the sermon, which you guys already have. You've got the ready-made graphics because it comes with, not only does it have the video, but I'll take your stills and put my content right over them. Sometimes I'll take your PSD files and tweak them to kind of get what I need out of them. So I love the versatility of that. So then I'll preach the sermon, and then afterwards we'll have our announcements, and then we usually dismiss after that. So it's an hour and 15 minutes usually at the top into that, and then people hang around and chat and fellowship for 30, 45 minutes sometimes, and until I get hungry enough to say please leave so I can go home.
Do you guys have a kids ministry, student ministry? What does that look like?
We don't have a student ministry yet. It's something that we want to do, and it's something that right now I'm going to have to take on. So that's one of the reasons I've delayed on it. It's an added piece of my schedule that we'll keep it simple, but I still, if we can't do it well, I'd rather not do it at all. I've seen some people, even with their music is an obvious one. They want a full group up on the platform. So they'll get people that can't sing or can't really play, and they'll get them up there so it looks good. And then you listen to it and you're like, this is not helping you. It's better to have one person that can really do it well than five people that are doing it mediocre. Same is true with our student ministries. It's just, we haven't had that person that could help, and my schedule hasn't been free enough, but I've struggled with that a little bit, to be honest. And so I think what we're going to do is maybe even just once every 4 to 6 weeks, something as simple as I'm going to grab them all and go to Cold Stone, and we're just going to hang out, and we'll kind of start with things like that. Our children's ministry was happening, and then when we moved into the building that we're currently in, which we now have all access to all week, when we moved into this building, we have the upstairs is remodeled. The guy that owns it allowed us to kind of remodel. It's not a huge space. It was an office space, and we gutted the offices and put in new carpet and that stuff. But the downstairs is in the process of being renovated for the kids. So Easter Sunday is kind of the relaunch of our kids' ministry.
Gotcha.
And we use Lifeway for that because they've got a lot of the same thing. They've got video resources and they've got music and all those kind of things. So we're using, I think we're signed up with the Gospel Project, kind of a monthly thing. And again, for us, it's like $40 a month, which is a great deal for us. And we don't have it divided up. We don't have little kids and older kids and all of that because we don't have enough. We're kind of keeping them all together.
Right.
And then this is how small churches work. In my office, one half of it is my office and the other half of it is we're calling it kind of our nursery, but we don't even function it as a nursery. It's really just kind of a baby's room. We've got a changing table in there. We've got some toys in there. So a mom with a small baby could go in there, but we've got a TV monitor that hooks up to our camera and sound system in there. So they can watch and hear while they're in there, but it's kind of open to moms if they'd like to use it.
Well, one thing I hope that people are hearing is relatability. I hope that they can relate to you, because even if they have more than 30 on a Sunday, that, you know, some people that we hear from are struggling. Like, hey, yeah. How do I do this, man? How do I do kids? How do I do, you know, it can be discouraging one Sunday and encouraging the next, and we're having to set up and tear down and, you know, all the different elements that go into it. What would you say for encouragement to somebody who is wrestling with how do we do Sunday after Sunday?
I would say stop looking at everybody else, because that's always going to frustrate you. No matter how big, you could have a church of 5,000 and you're going to look at the church of 8,000 and think, I wish we could do that. There's always somebody doing it better or different. I won't even say better. They're doing it differently than you are. And you're going to think that we need that. And the reality is, the Bible says that God's going to supply all of our needs according to his riches and glory. So like everything we need to do ministry, he's going to provide. So when we were trying to get a sound system, it really came down to, I know what I'd like to have. And if the money comes in for it, we'll get one. And if it doesn't, we don't need one. Like, we'll do without and we'll just make it work. We need live stream stuff. And I really feel like, number one, stop using the word need. We'd like to live stream. Maybe you don't have that ability. That's okay. The other thing I would say is it's okay to do less, even if it frustrates some people in the process. I've got, and I don't know if they'll listen to this or not, I've got one family that has kind of begged me to do something with teens because they have a couple of their own, plus because of a situation with a family friend of theirs, they've kind of become legal guardians for a couple more. So they've got 3-4 teens in their house, and they've asked me multiple times, when are we going to do stuff for teens? I just keep telling them, we just don't have the time yet. Like, I just don't have it. I don't have that margin in my schedule. And I know it frustrates them. And for a while, they actually were going to another church where they could get their kids involved in youth programs. And that's not fun. But I knew that I couldn't do it well, or that I would do it and it would stress me out or frustrate me. And God had just not given me peace to move forward with that. And we have to be okay with that. So it's hard for me to maybe give advice, but if I can tell you what I've done is I've just sat back and said, okay, God, this isn't my church. It's yours. They're not my people. They're yours. How do you want me to lead? What programs do you want? What feel do you want? How do you want us to run this? And so don't compare and don't stress over things that you don't have the time, the money, or the resources to do.
Tell me about streaming. Tell me about your online presence. What does your online experience look like?
Our online presence is mediocre. And I love the big show, right? So like, it's frustrating to me because I want it to be perfect. And we've had more issues with our online stuff than anything else. But we've had more people during COVID begin coming to our church as things have started to fade out. We've added 3 or 4 families to our church in the last 6 months because we were online. Multiple times somebody comes to me and says, we watched your service online. I'll introduce myself and like, oh, we know, we feel like we know you. We've been watching you for several weeks. And I didn't even know they were. So our online presence is, sometimes it doesn't even work right. Like, we, at the last second, we finally get it up. During the music, the guys are looking at me going, it's not working right. And they get it up in time for the preaching.
What are you using? And where are you? And what platforms have you chosen to be on? And that sort of thing.
We're using Sling Studio, which is kind of a wireless system. And we did that on purpose initially because of the portability. We never really knew where we were going to be or what we would need. And, because we couldn't set up a permanent location and the way the building we were using was set up, I didn't want cables running everywhere. So having that wireless capability was ideal for us at the time. So I would say if you don't need that, there are better options that your team could speak to far better than I could, because I haven't used them. But I know that Sling Studio has, its strength is its portability and its wireless capabilities. Its also got some weaknesses. Anything wireless has weaknesses. One of the cam links that allows you to be wireless for us, we had two of them. One of them has gone down and I can't get it to work. And they're $350 a pop if you can find them. They've sold out of everything and they're not producing them. So I'm not saying use Sling Studio, but that's what we've been using. I'm actually looking at getting a switcher to plug into Sling Studio so that we'll still use it as kind of our hub, but now we can wire cameras and we can maybe wire them into that switcher and then send that to Sling Studio, or getting rid of it altogether. So that's what we've been using.
Do you stream on your website? Do you use a church online platform or anything like that? Or
we don't.
Facebook.
The easiest, cheapest solution was Facebook. And so that's what we did. And now that's where everybody knows that's where we are. So we didn't set up anything where we embedded on our website or anything like that. I would like to. Part of it for me, again, goes back to that's not my skill set. I don't know how to do all of that stuff, and I haven't had time to learn how to do all of that. So I've given myself permission to say, this is what we can do, and this mm-hmm. is where we are.
And I want people to hear that. And this is one thing that I really said, especially at the beginning of COVID, is start with what you have. If all you can do and do well is Facebook Live,
yeah.
do it. Like, the message deserves to be out there.
Be there
with whatever capacity you can be there.
Yeah.
So
do the best you can with what you have.
Right. Right.
That's what we've done the whole time.
Tell me about social media presence. What does that look like?
Social media presence is weak for us. Just honestly, again, it's one of those things that I have to own, until I need somebody to pass that off to, and just don't have that person yet. So it's our live is on there. And then I try to get a couple of posts a week up on there, but it's just not, it's not something I'm proud of. Don't go look us up online and check our Facebook page out for resources or tips or ideas on how to run that. I owned a marketing company for a while. I know what we need to be doing. It's literally just, this is how much time I have. And that's just not been a place I've been able to invest a lot of it.
How do you still, and we've gone over some of this, but I'm going to ask you anyway, how do you still produce a high quality worship experience and reach your people on a small budget? Maybe what are some other resources that you use, or how does it seem high quality with the resources that you do have?
I think it's important to, invest where it's important. I would love to get a larger, I get a small stipend basically from our church. I'd love for that to be more. And technically it could be, but I'd have to cut other things. And so for me right now, I value that experience enough to say I'll take less pay, because I want to invest where we can. In a small church too, it's a constant casting of vision, where when we moved into this building, it took several thousand dollars to renovate a building, and we're renting this building. So we wanted to spend as little as possible, but get as much value out of it. So volunteer labor, telling people what it could be and what could happen. And when we first moved in, it was half the size of, I'm sitting in here right now. So it was half the size of what I'm in. And we had to knock out these offices that are in front of where I'm sitting right now. But getting people to come in and knock out those walls instead of paying somebody, it was super important for us. But we took the time to invest in a good enough backdrop, something that looks nice. Could have done something much nicer. Could have put in some kind of stretch material or some cool light show stuff or something. But we did what we could afford, but we made it as nice as we could. We bought decent lights, decent sound equipment, good enough to work for what we need to do. But then investing in the graphics, like 1230, having those videos to show, it seems so simple. Like, we don't need to show a video before I preach. It just kind of brings people to that place where they're sitting down, they're refocusing their mind and their heart, and it helps. So to me, we value that. So we're not spending, we're investing. And I think that mindset that I heard from somebody back when we were starting was helpful for me to just go, okay, sometimes I feel like we're spending money, but really we're investing money. So creating an experience is going to cost some, and just being wise about what you're spending it on. We don't have what's the, is it ProPresenter? Is that the, like the expensive Wazoo? First of all, I don't have anybody that could run that thing. So we don't use ProPresenter. I think it's great. I would love to have ProPresenter. If anybody wants to donate that to me, you're welcome to. But we have a less expensive package, software that we use. I think it's, I forget what it is. It's Worship Extreme, I think, is the one. It's like $15 a month that we pay for that. We have an accountant that does our finances, and we use an Excel spreadsheet. We're not even paying for some Wazoo accounting software yet. Now, when we grow, we'll need to, but for now, this is working. And so we'll cut budgets where we can. We'll trim them where we can because we won't invest. But at the same time, we just bought DI boxes and XLR cables and a keyboard stand because somebody donated a keyboard and the stuff that we needed for our electric guitar guy and a couple of in-ear monitor systems because we value that music. And when we added to our team, we said, okay, let's take some of our budget and shift it over here and invest in this because this is now valuable for our church.
Right. How did COVID affect you guys? What was the impact of last year?
We grew. I don't know how to explain that other than the work of God. We were still, I think, the first couple of years of starting, we were still kind of figuring out what we were as a church. Because remember, I didn't have this big, long plan. I didn't spend a couple of years planning to plant a church. It was, okay, we're here. Like, we already have people. We got to start. So the first couple of years we were doing it, we were figuring out who we were. Right before COVID hit, we were getting ready to move into this building. And I felt like, and I told my wife this, I said, I feel like we're starting to kind of hit our stride and then COVID hits. But we got really serious about being online and being present online through our live services. And the other thing for us, my wife and I talked about this when all of this started to go down, when we started this church. I said, I want to be almost obnoxiously authentic. Like I want people that work with me when they show up at church and they hear me preach that I sound like the same guy that's at work. That there's no like, oh, he's like, now he's preacher. And when he's at work, he's just Matt. Incredible amounts of authenticity. And so we reflected that in our online presence. During COVID, I did spend more time on our social media pages and I tried some of the kind of cookie cutter posts and stuff, and they just didn't do anything for us. So I would get on and do lives. To this day, one of my best posts is if I'm here on a Saturday working on music or something for Sunday, I'll just take my phone and set it up and turn it on live and just say, hey, we're just here practicing if you want to hang out with us. And people just tune in and they're commenting and putting hearts and likes and all that stuff on there. So being authentic and all that during COVID, but I also, I don't know if I should say this here, but I also remained very non-political during all of it. I have pretty strong political beliefs, but if you ask the people in my community what they are, they might be able to tell you because of what they assume I believe because of my church, but they would not tell you, oh, I know he believes this because he says it all the time. People in my church, I don't get up and talk about Republicans or Democrats or masks or not masks. We had our policies, which were, if you'd like to attend, we would recommend a mask, but you don't have to. And most people don't. And we have online, if you're uncomfortable being here, we understand, we respect that. So we're going to make this option available for you as well. So I just remained authentic, stayed out of the politics of it, didn't stir up trouble or fights. And it resonated with people, and I preach the same whether it's five people or 500, and I just pour out my heart every Sunday, and we're seeing growth because I think people just see a desire for God to do something in this place.
Yeah, that's awesome. Well, man, any final words to other church planners, other guys in the trenches?
Don't quit. I've quit 15 times. And it would never have been the right thing to do. I had guys tell me it's the hardest thing you'll ever do. And I thought, I mean, I've done some pretty hard stuff. I've been through some pretty hard things. There's no way that this will be the hardest thing. It's the hardest thing I've ever done. But the rewards on the other side of it are so incredible. And the other thing I would say is lower your expectations in the sense of let God grow the church numerically. You focus on growing yourself and discipling your people. If the church grows, great. If not, that's just more time to invest in the people you do have. And don't begrudge that, because someday if it does grow to 100, 200, 500, 1,000, you're going to have less time to invest in Bob and Sally and Jill and Joe, and you're going to miss that. Right. So it's kind of like raising a child, right? Invest in them and enjoy the phase they're in right now.
Yeah, good. Well, man, thank you so much. I appreciate the time. And I love the spectrum. I love being able to talk to people that are over here and over here and over here.
Yeah.
And no matter where we are in that spectrum, we're all trying to love God, love people, make Sunday happen, take our worship experiences beyond Sunday, connect with people. And really, it comes down to that. It's all about the people that, yep, that God's bringing in front of us, and to be faithful with that. So, man, thank you for what you're doing. And tell us about how we can reach you and how we can stay connected with you. Tell me about how we can listen to your podcast and the network.
Yeah. Christian Conversations is a podcast that I started about a month and a half ago. And the idea is really just to have conversations with regular Christians all over the world, just whether they have an incredible story or they have an expertise in something. As of the time we're recording this, your podcast that we recorded together is coming out tomorrow on being a Christian and an entrepreneur, and what that looks like and some of those aspects as a Christian businessman. So that's hitting tomorrow. So Christian Conversations is available iTunes and Google and all that kind of stuff. But the Everyday Christian Network is really, it's a conglomerate of several people that that I have the privilege of leading, that's putting out written content. And you can find us on Facebook. We actually, I think, are on TikTok right now. I've got another guy that's helping with that. TikTok's not been my scene thus far, but I'm probably going to have to dip my toes in there at some point. So we're expanding that. And honestly, if anybody loves to create content, let us know if you're interested in being a part of what we're doing. It's not a tight-knit group in the sense of we don't let anybody else in. We'd love to have you, especially if you love to do YouTube-type videos or video content of any kind. We'd love to see your work and maybe help kind of share that for you and with you. We've got many books coming out and some things like that. So kind of all that stuff on the horizon here in the near future. So real exciting. EverydayChristianNetwork.com, and our church is gracevalley.church.
Awesome. Well, thanks so much, man. I appreciate the time.
Yeah, man. Thank you.
Introducing monthly custom media plans from 1230 Media. Affordable, no-contract monthly plans for custom graphic design and video for your church. Custom sermon series designs, announcement graphics, social media graphics, sermon bumpers and trailers, promotional videos, countdowns, church announcement videos, and more. Choose between custom graphics, custom video, or graphics and video plans. Harness the power of a full creative team every month to serve your church or ministry, with plans starting at only $600 per month. Join hundreds of churches using 1230 Media to transform your worship experience. Get started today at 1230.media/pricing. That's 1230.media/pricing. The show notes for this episode are available now at MakingSundayHappen.com.
Well, hey guys, next week on the show, I welcome Todd Elliott from Philo. Philo Conference is coming up as well, May 11th and 12th in Chicago. It will be a digital event, but with a live studio audience and live exhibitors. So you can come to that event or you can check it out online. Feel free to search that up, check it out. It's a great conference for church, tech, and production folks. Todd is the former tech arts director at Willow Creek Community Church. And I'm going to be talking with Todd about his book, I Love Jesus, But I Hate Christmas, The Challenges of Being a Church Tech Artist, and a host of other topics related to church tech and production. So if you are in the church media space, production space, next week's episode is perfect for you. Free articles, archives, and resources are all at 1230.media/training. It's all completely free for you. We can give away our content on the blog and podcast because of our gracious sponsors. So if you're interested in sponsoring our podcast, feel free to email me, carl@1230.media, or you can reach out to our team. You can call us 910-849-1230. We would love to have you sponsor an episode of the podcast. And it's because of the generosity of those sponsors that our blog and podcast are completely free. And we're able to have guests on like Todd and others and Matt that are able to talk to you about incredible topics. Some of these guys are getting paid for their workshop content and they're giving it to us for free on the podcast. So we've had some incredible guests. I would love for you to jump into the archives of our podcast and check it out. A lot of very, very gracious people have come on and gracious sponsors. So thank you guys so much if you're one of those people. And it's because of those folks that we can give that content away. So 1230.media/training for all types of free articles, archives, podcast episodes, resources, all that kind of stuff. All right. Well, thank you guys so much for hanging out. Go out there and create some incredible worship experiences this weekend. I'll catch you next week.
Making Sunday Happen is a production of the Ministry of 1230 Media. For show notes, archive episodes, and more free resources for your church, visit MakingSundayHappen.com.